song, if you didn't hear it, it said, there is a place for me in the body of Christ. Man, I tell you, that song is so fitting for our series, Being Better Together. And it's really, 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 really fitting for where we're going to go this morning. I mean, just God is just very timely this morning. I want to thank all of our young people. Thank Sister Tyler. Can we give them a round of applause once again? Give our young people a round of applause. Amazing job. I also want to give it up for Brother Jamal. Can we give it up for Jamal, who got them together? And amen. We're going to be seeing them do that a lot more often, giving them that opportunity to use their gifts. As we mentioned earlier in our series a couple of weeks ago, that being together in community helps you to discover your gifts. I discovered my gift. I discovered how God had wired me by being together in the context of community and fellowship. And just by seeing these young people doing what they're doing, just my prayer, my heart, it brought tears to my eyes, because my heart and my prayer is that maybe one day one of them will be up here where I'm standing, or one of them will be in the sound room or leading worship, because God gave them opportunity in the community, in fellowship, to discover how God has wired them. It's so funny. My oldest, this morning, I overheard him tell somebody, I was going to preach this morning, I just didn't have time to get it together. It's so funny. So we praise God for them using their gifts this morning. Could y'all pray with me as we go into our time of the word this morning? Dear God, Heavenly Father, we thank you that, Lord God, somebody like you would love somebody like me, somebody like us. Lord, we praise you that there is a place for us in the body of Christ, that you created us, Lord God, and designed us to love us and to be in relationship with us. Lord, you created us in your image. And it shows us that you're a God, Lord God, of relationship. And you designed us to be that way. So we are thankful today for the body of Christ. I thank you for fellowship, the accountability that is in the body of Christ. I thank you that in the body of Christ, I have someone who can see my blind spots. And Lord, I just thank you, Lord God, for the fellowship of the saints. And we pray that during this season and this time where church, we've done things differently, that we will not lose the sense of community, that sense of accountability and oneness, that we'll fight for it in Hebrews, like Hebrews tells us, even more as we see the day approaching. And God, today, as we gather, Lord, and we talk about being an essential piece, I pray that everyone under the sound of my voice, whether they're in the building or whether they're watching at home, will understand that they're an essential piece to this puzzle. We praise you, we thank you, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Today we're coming from the topic. We're still in our series, Better Together. This is week 3 of Better Together. Last week we talked about accountability and the importance of accountability. This week we're going to talk about just you being an essential piece. I want you to look at your neighbor, look at somebody this close to you at home. If you got somebody watching with you, look at somebody. If not, text them. Text somebody that you know in the church, somebody you know in the body of Christ. Say, you're an essential piece. Y'all can say it. If you're here, you can say to the person next to you, you're an essential piece. You're an essential piece. All of us, there is a place for us in the body of Christ. You know, now, I'm a Wizards fan. Brother Derek Smith could tell you he's a Wizards fan. I overheard him telling somebody, the Wizards got a new coach. Well, many, many years ago, the best player of all time came out of retirement to play for the Washington Wizards. Y'all know who the best player of all time is? Michael Jordan. Please don't say LeBron James. I don't care who you are. Please do not say LeBron James. Michael Jordan, the best player of all time, came out of retirement 2001 to play for the Wizards. And in this season, what happened in one of their practices and scrimmages, they introduced what's called a no-shooting rule for Michael. A no-shooting rule for Michael. And the reason why they had done that, they had had a preseason game where everybody on the team was so in awe of Michael Jordan that they just stood around watching. Now, mind you, everybody out here is being paid millions of dollars. They're all professionals, but most of them grew up watching Michael Jordan. And in the game, they ended up standing around watching Mike go to work, even though it's not the same Mike. It wasn't the Mike of 1996 and 95. It was an older Michael Jordan. And they ended up losing the scrimmage in the exhibition game because he didn't have any help. So Michael Jordan, at the next practice, he and his coach, Doug Collins, said, "We're going to institute a no-shooting rule for me." Because, look, he told them, in Chicago, the only reason I could do what I did is because everybody played a role and everybody played a part. And I could not be the Michael Jordan that you know if there was not a Steve Kerr, if there was not a Scottie Pippen, if there was not a who else, Bill Winnington. If you didn't have all of these other pieces, I couldn't be who I am. So I need you to show up and use your ability. So in this particular practice, it got down to it. They were scrimmaging, and the team that Michael was on was down by 1 point with 5 seconds left, and somebody passed him the ball. You know what Michael did with it? He passed it back. He didn't shoot it. He passed it back. He said, because I got to teach you that the game is on the line, but it can't always depend on me. And as I thought about that, I said, you know, the body of Christ, all of us got a role to play. All of us got the role to play. And being in the body of Christ, being in fellowship, being together in community, I'm going to tell you, this community is not a sport for spectators. Sometimes on Sunday morning, we believe it's like going to the game. It's a spectator sport. Do you know everybody's got a role to play, even on what goes on in this on Sunday morning? You are an essential piece. Matter of fact, Ephesians will tell you, you are God's masterpiece. You know, when I think of master, I think of something that is the main thing, and peace. You are a masterpiece. He's designed you to be an essential piece to this puzzle, and you got to understand that. Today, we're going to be talking about you as an essential piece, and in order for you to understand it, I want you to look in the first scripture I want to look at is in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. This is this slide that you see, this goes over the points that we talked about. This is in a way of review. We talked about being together, ties me in with God's family. It offers accountability. We talked about that last week. Together helps us to grow spiritually. We encounter Christ's presence together. Needs are taken care of together. It helps me to discover my gifts. I get encouragement, and it reaches others with the good news. That's why being together in community is so essential. But there's a scripture in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. It says, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. We are a masterpiece. That's what he says in his word. And in this masterpiece, we are that masterpiece. You know, he's given you and I, all of us, he's given gifts. He's given you gifts and abilities. And here in community is a place for you to find out what that gift is, because God has designed you for ministry. I talked to my wife this morning. I was going back and forth what I wanted to title the message. And at first, I was going to title it Made for Ministry, because that's exactly how you were made. You were made for ministry. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 7 says, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it's the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so why we can help each other. Today, the first thing that I want you to know, like Michael Jordan said to all those people on the team, whoever was it, Calbert Chaney or Jerry Stackhouse, who was on that team at that time, he said, look, you're an essential piece. I want to let you know you're an essential piece. And the first thing that you must know is that you are created for ministry. You are created for ministry. Going back to that passage that I read in Ephesians, we are God's masterpiece, and he created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do good things he planned us to do. Listen, he created you anew as his masterpiece. Two things in that passage you got to know. Number one, that you are God's masterpiece. You are God's masterpiece. You might think, man, what is there special about me? God has designed you. I love VeggieTales. VeggieTales, my kids used to watch VeggieTales. Any of you, your children ever watch VeggieTales? Bob and Larry, man, I'm going to tell you, that truth always rings true, always rings out for my kids, because we've repeated that several times in our devotions over the last several weeks. And one thing that they always end off with is, God made you special, and he loves you very much. You are God. Number one thing that you got to know, that you are God's original masterpiece. There's not another Dwayne McKinney. Nobody else has my makeup. And God designed you specifically, and only you can do what you can do. You're a God's masterpiece, but not only are you God's masterpiece, but also he said he created you in Christ. Why? So we can do the good things he planned us to do. You are his masterpiece, but also you are God's minister. Did you know you're a minister? You don't have to call me, ask me to ordain you. You're a minister. Whenever you come to know Christ, you have stepped into the ministry. And ministry is simply meeting needs with love. You are a minister. He saved you to serve. So you are, number one, you got to understand you are God's masterpiece. He designed you special. You're an essential part, and he designed you, crafted you. Everything else, God spoke into existence, but when he got to man, he formed man out of the dust of the ground. That's special. He spoke in the stars. He spoke in the sunshine. And then he took the dust of the ground and shaped man. And then not only did he shape him, he breathed into him the breath of life, it says. And then he became a living soul. You are special to God. He put his hand on you and breathed his life into you. So what I'm saying is, whenever you come into the body of Christ, you know God's got something for you to do. The key is, wherever you are, wherever you're watching, you might feel like, well, how can God use me? It's not that you don't have it. You just may not have figured out what it is yet, but he got something for you to do. That's why being in community is so important, because being in community is one of those places you find out what that thing is. You are created. God has created you for ministry. He has designed you for ministry. And I'm here to tell you, if you run from these two truths, that you are God's masterpiece and that you're a minister, if you run from these truths, you'll find yourself becoming increasingly uncomfortable in your relationship with God. You'll become yourself increasingly uncomfortable in your church and in your Christian relationships. Why? Because you're outside of God's will. If you don't come to grips with the truth that I'm God's masterpiece and I'm a minister, you will not be comfortable in the place where God has called you. And that's why people will run. Because church is not a spectator sport. You're designed. God designed you to serve. He designed you to minister. Not only that, he created you to minister. Because that's why when Jesus talked about it, we talked about it last week with accountability, he said, these and greater works are you going to do, because I created you to do it. You're created for ministry, but not only were you created for ministry, we touched on this a little bit. The next part is, but also I am gifted for ministry. Somebody say, I'm gifted. I'm gifted. God has gifted you for ministry. I'm here to tell you this, the Bible in 1 Peter, I love the scripture, 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, says God has given gifts to each of you from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Manage them well so that God's generosity can flow through you. Are you called to be a speaker? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Are you called to help others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then God will be given glory, look at that, in everything through Christ Jesus. All glory and power belong to him forever and ever. Amen. Do you see what it says? When you walk in your gifts, God is praised and gets glory. When we sing, we praise God, but one of the greatest ways for God to get praise is when the people of God are operating in their gifts. And he's giving them to you. I love it. God is giving you he's giving you a gift, and he wants you to use it for his glory. And what happens when the gifts are not being used? What happens when I'm not using my gifts? Do you know what? It's just like in your body. In your body, if your liver is not functioning, you're going to have some problems. See, when people come to me, And I have to take, and they're sick or whatever, a lot of times what we do is we go and run lab tests. And when I run the lab test, I can see, based on different chemicals in your body, which part of your body is not functioning right. And when that body is not functioning right, it causes everything to go haywire. But the beautiful thing about a body is, that's how God designed it. When one part of your body is not functioning, what ends up happening is another part of your body will start to compensate. It'll start to compensate. And that's why you see your labs go off, because you say, well, your liver enzymes are going too high. Why? Because your liver is working hard to compensate for this. Or your heart is acting right because your heart's pumping too hard to compensate for that. And so your body compensates. This really came to my attention this week. We had a friend of ours over. Tracy was talking to a friend of hers who's a nurse in the operating room. And she came by and she was giving a young lady just a story about her episode when she had her heart attack about a year ago. And it's over a year ago now. Time is flying. But we were letting her know, and she didn't know. I told her she had a 99% blockage of her left anterior descending artery. For people who are not in the medical field, people who are in the medical field know, when I said she had 99% blockage of her LAD, she said, that's the widowmaker. I said, I know. And what she told Tracy is, at the time, for you to have 99% blockage of that artery, and most people die, that's instant death. It's just like, that's a sudden death. Somebody has that, they just dead. She said, what happened with you, probably the capillaries in your heart begin to develop collateral circulation. So they began to get blood to the heart that were compensating for that main artery not getting the blood there, that allowed you to go that long without you noticing it. And I said, look at the body and look at the message. What God is saying, look, even when one part ain't working right, I can cause other things to raise up and still get the job done. I'll still get the job done because I will build my church. You might be called to teach, but you don't want to do it. But I'll use sister such and such, even though, listen, her capacity is not as wide as yours. The capillaries are a way smaller vessel than the artery. But listen, her capacity is not as wide, but her availability is what I need. See, the wide artery is blocked, but if I... Woo!
Lord, have mercy.
Good. Can y'all hear me? Ooh. The main artery is blocked, but I can use one that is available. And I can still, and what I'll do, I'll use more than one of the ones who are available. And I still get the job done. The heart will still function. Now, would it be better if that one were open? Oh my goodness, you really get some work in there. But in the meantime, that's how the body works. But see, there's a good and bad in that. The good thing is the job can get function, but the bad thing is over time, that heart will break down. The bad thing is we need to unblock that artery at some point so the blood can get there. And I'm here to tell you, there's some of our y'all who got some gifts that are being blocked up today. There's somebody watching me that God has placed a gift and ability in you that you're not using, and God is still getting the job done in his church. He's still doing the work because he said, listen, if I began a work, I'm going to finish it. I'm going to carry it out. But boy, my capacity, boy, the impact you would make if you would just get all that mess out the way, all the stuff that's clogging up the flow, and allow me to flow, watch what I can do. God has gifted you for ministry. My question is, what is blocking the flow of the gift in your life? What is blocking the flow of the gift in your life? And whatever it is, you need to see. Well, my wife, she had a blockage. She had to undergo a procedure where they put a stent in and they had to open up. They had to break up that blockage and open up the artery. You need to let God come in and break up some stuff so you can be free, so his power can be free to flow in you and you to operate in your gift. He created you for ministry. He gifted you for ministry. But you know what? When you begin gifted for ministry, to whom much is given, much is required. And a lot of times, some people know, I know I got this gift. But if I walk in this gift, that's a whole lot of weight on me. We like to be comfortable. That's why the pandemic has been good, and it's good, it's made you feel, some of us feel good, because now I can be in the shadows and people still think I'm doing all right. And I don't look, they don't even need me. Listen, I can see, I could be in the cut and just be comfortable. God said, no, I didn't save you to be comfortable. I didn't, now the church building is closed. Now I mean, okay, pastor, what can I do? How can we keep ministry going? How can we get food to the homeless? How can we go out and minister to some young people? It's not an opportunity to now I can be at home and I can just chill. It's a way that, yes, I can be at home and continue doing the work. So when the doors open, can you imagine if we had a mindset that I'm going to let my gift flow? When the doors flow back open, how, you wouldn't even be able to get people in the church. Why? Because I'm at home using my gift, and now I got a little church in my neighborhood. I've been inviting my friends and family to watch with me. And now they say, man, this, I want to see what's going on. The building is back open. Now you got more people, what, in the kingdom. You're gifted. God's given you ability. Now we gotta begin to walk in it. We gotta begin to walk in the ability. Reminds me of the parable of the talents. You don't know the parable of the talents. God distributed the talents according to their abilities. He distributed the talents according to their abilities. That's the good thing about God. By him giving less talents is not an indictment on you being a lesser person. He just knows this is your capacity. So I'm going to give you according to your capacity and just maximize your capacity. And that's what God is calling you to do. Are you going to maximize the capacity or are you going to sit on it? I'm created for ministry. I'm gifted for ministry. But not only that, I am needed for ministry. I am needed for ministry. In preparing this, I was reading a story of a pastor of a church in the inner city in New York City, in a very rough area. The pastor, in fact, he had been stabbed, he'd been shot at. He was in the hood ministering. And in this church, one woman came to Christ, and she came to the pastor. It was a Puerto Rican woman in that area. That she got saved, and she came to the pastor and wanted to know what she could do. She couldn't even speak English. She came to the pastor and had to have somebody interpret for her and asked how could she serve. She didn't know what she could do. Little poor lady, what could she do? I can't even speak English. And the pastor said, all I want you to do, I want you, listen, we got a bus ministry. If you can get on one of our buses every week and just love on the children that get on the bus. That's it. Just love on the children that get on the bus. And she just did that. Couldn't speak English. Only thing really that she could say and understand is I love you and God and Jesus loves you. I love you and Jesus loves you. And she got on that bus week after week and would tell those children, I love you and Jesus loves you. If they said anything back in English, she didn't know what they were talking about. And so one particular child, she really took a liking to. He wouldn't speak. He would get on the bus with his sister. He didn't say much. He was a young child. And she would just say, I love you, and Jesus loved you. And after a while, she just wanted to be on that bus. And that little boy would sit on her lap, and she would whisper in his ear, I love you, and Jesus loves you. And this boy who never talked, one particular Sunday, one particular week, she said, I love you and Jesus love you. He looked up at her and said, I love you too. Little did she know, that boy would never come back to church again. His mother beat him to death and tossed him in the trash. And what one thing that hit that pastor's heart to know is that there was a little lady who didn't know if she had a gift, she didn't know what she could do. She just knew I'm available. And she, what blessed that pastor's heart is to know that some of the last words that child was able to hear, somebody tell him that God, I love you and Jesus loves you. Because she recognized, I'm needed. I can't preach. I can't sing. I don't know how to usher. All I can do is sit on the bus and say, I love you, and Jesus loves you. God needs you for ministry. You might say, look, I can't be in the finance ministry. But you know what you can do? You can smile at somebody. I heard one pastor say, listen, he has specific people. He has one ministry in his church. You know what the ministry is? That people, there are certain people designated every Sunday to look for people who may not have ever been spoken to. And they go up and just say, hey, how you doing? When you come to church, we have to get rid of the Burger King church mindset. Have it your way. This is not about us. It's about his kingdom. He has placed us here. Very simple. Church is very simple. Love God. Love people. Make disciples. And we get so busy. I don't like this song. I don't like this. I don't like the carpet. I don't like this. Make disciples. People are dying and going to hell. And we worried about colors and chairs and carpet. Love God, love people, make disciples. That's it. It's real easy. That's why the church door was closed for the pandemic. Because God said, y'all ain't doing it. I don't know what y'all doing. All that other stuff. I mean, we got some nice programs. They're good. But if the end is not to show God's love, it's not to express our love to him and love to people and make disciples, it's just another good program. Because can I tell you, there are a lot of good social organizations who do good programs better than the church does. So there are people who do that. And I'm here to say that we need to do that. We need to be reaching out to our community. But the end game must be to let them know that there is a God who loves you. And he created you in his image. Loves you just like you are. And he wants a relationship with you. If we're not doing that, it's a waste of time. And guess what? He needs all of us to make that happen. I'm created for ministry. I'm gifted for ministry. But I'm needed for ministry. The Bible says, listen, right here in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27. Now all of you together are Christ's body. Each one of you is a separate and what kind of part? What does it say? Necessary part. Each one of you is a separate and necessary part. God said, look, man, I need you. I pray that you do not let this service in, that you do not let this message in and be content with saying, I'm good for a good message this week. Now people can watch a million services online on one day. But the question is, look, we don't need more information. We need transformation. We need transformed lives, and he needs people to make that happen. And guess what? This is what, can I tell you this? You never outgrow your ministry. You never outgrow it. You know, sometimes you can transition into something different. I praise God. Can I use Pastor Mack as an example? That's my dad. That's my mentor. That's my example. Pastor Mack retired over 4 years ago. But he retired from being in the pulpit. He didn't retire from his gift. He didn't retire from ministry. He's not up here every Sunday. Now, guess what? If you let him, he'll still do it. When God has called you, you don't say, oh, I'm done with that. I may be done in this capacity, but it's still my gift. And it's when you're gifted for it, it's a passion. It's like Jeremiah. When Jeremiah said, I wasn't going to speak, it's like fire. Shut up in me. Yeah, I may be 82 years old, but I can't. Woe is me if I don't preach the gospel. And so when I see Pastor Mac on Wednesday, he'll come here, open the church so the people can get the food. Brother Derek could call him and say, Pastor Mac, there's somebody who don't have a church. Can you come do the funeral? Absolutely. Dad, where you at? Oh, I'm doing a funeral. He's 82 years old. He doesn't say, oh, I'm done now. Time for me to just sit back and watch. He can watch this, but he's still working. And I say that to say, you don't retire from ministry because ministry is ongoing. The question is now, what is my capacity? Yes, I may have done this in this capacity. I'm training up a young person to take my place, so now I can do something else. I can serve in an advisory role. I can do something else. I love it. I see Brother Oscar and Pastor Mac and Brother Callie. They go visit the sick. They go visit the sick. Oscar been ushering for years. Brother Callie, church treasurer, for years. He said, look, I may not be doing that, but guess what? I'm still in ministry. God has called you, and he needs you. But not only that, my last point is that, guess what? I'm also responsible. I'm also responsible for ministry. I'm responsible for ministry. I love this story. Some of you may have heard it. It's a story that's been told about four people. Four people named everybody, somebody, anybody, and nobody. Four people. And there was an important job to do in the church. There was an important job to do, and everybody was asked to do it. Everybody was asked to do it, and everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry because it was everybody's job. Everybody thought anybody would do it, but nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. Well, it ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done. It's all of our responsibility. It's not just my, listen, look, it's not the pastor's responsibility only. It's all of our responsibility. The good thing to know is, look, if something happened one week and I couldn't stand up here and preach, Pastor Mac wasn't available, the word got to go forward. Somebody got, if you had time with the Lord, somebody knows something. You ought to be able to stand up and tell, let me just tell you, I don't know a whole lot of information, but can I just tell you what he said to me today? It's everybody's responsibility. And too often in the body of Christ, we're just like Michael Jordan and the Wizards in 2001. We're going to wait for him to take the shot. Sister such and such going to do that. Whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your might. Do it with all your might. Let's look at this scripture, Ephesians 4, verse 1. Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. He said, I beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. Meaning, lead a life according to how God has created and gifted you, for you have been called by God. And look at it. He says, what does Paul say? He says, I beg you. He is begging people to just use your gift. Serve, minister. And where is Paul when he's asking them to do that? Jail. He's writing from jail to tell people, man, do your gift. And he's encouraging to do it. How can this man who's locked up for doing, using his gift, he's locked up, he's still saying, man, it's worth it. It's worth it. Because it's not about my kingdom. It's about his kingdom. And Lord, we are all an essential piece. Today, could you imagine? What if everybody in the church was walking in their gift? What if all of us knew what that gift is? Sometimes we can't walk in it because we're not quite sure what it is. We're unclear about that. That's why being in community is so important. You know why? Because being in community gives you a chance to use trial and error. Man, I'd like to try that. You need somebody to serve here? You need somebody in hospitality ministry? I'm available. What you might find out, I don't like people. I don't want to be in hospitality. You need somebody with the kids? Yeah, okay, I'll help out. And you might say, oh, Lord, I can't take all that noise. Children ministry might not be for you. But somebody might tell you, look, we need an administrator. And you might say, oh, my goodness, that's my niche right there. It's trial and error sometimes. But the best way to try it is just put your feet in. Recognize it. Look, because we got to get out of this selfish mentality that church is for me. I got to figure out what needs to be done. First of all, we know what the end goal is. We need to love God, love people, make disciples. We want to build his kingdom. What needs to go on to make sure that happens? And when you see a void, Pastor, can I do this? Is there a ministry there for it? Guess what? There might be a ministry that God has in you that we don't even have here. You know what that means? It's time for you to get it started. It's time for you to get started. Some of you might be saying, Pastor, I don't know where to begin. Look, there are ways. There are tools out there. There are even spiritual gifts assessments, and you're going to get one. Most of you here will get one. I set it up that towards the end of this message, you should get a thing on your phone, and it's going to click. You click that, and it's a online spiritual gift assessment tool that you can take to find out, man, what some of your gifts and abilities are. If you're at home and you're watching, you want that same assessment, look, all you got to do is text the word gift to 301-804-2520. 301-804-2520. In the message, put gift and plus send, and it'll send you a spiritual gift assessment. We're going to find out, how has God wired me? What are some things? Some of you may already know, and you say, look, I haven't been walking in it. Some of you may not quite know, but we want to find out, what is that thing, so we can begin to, God can begin to use it for his glory, so that his kingdom can be enlarged. Amen? You're an essential piece. In fact, you're a masterpiece. A masterpiece. The master is, when we look at the etymology of that word, master is someone who is in control of something. The one who's in control is God, the masterpiece. But also, you know what I think of master? This is not the original meaning of the word. When I think, I'm getting ready to move, I'm thinking of master bedrooms. When I think of the master, I think of the main one. And I thought about that when I was on here this morning. I said, masterpiece. I'm the main piece. You know you're the main piece? Pastor's not the main piece. We are all the essential piece. There's not one of us who's greater than the next. All of us is essential. And God wants to use you mightily. And I love it. When we do, guess what it says? When we go back to that passage in 1 Peter, I love it. When we go back and do it, he says, what happens? Then God will be given glory in everything through Jesus Christ. Isn't that what we want? For him to be glorified. We want, my prayer is that we be like that church in Acts. That we be like that church in Acts. That church in Acts chapter 2 and 4 had everything in common. People were operating their gifts, and they saw the kingdom enlarged because we're walking in obedience what God called us to do. Amen? Can you all stand with me? You are an essential piece. As I close, this was a story of a young lady named Rosina. Rosina Hernandez, I believe, was her name. And she told a story about one time when she was in college, she had gone to a concert, and one of the young men that were there at the concert had gotten robbed, and some people jumped up on him, and they shot him, and the man was killed. But people watched this going on, and nobody moved. They watched this man being jumped and eventually being robbed and murdered right in front of their eyes, and everybody was too scared to do something. And she got word that that man had lost his life. She made a vow that next time I have an opportunity to help somebody, I will not let that opportunity pass. Many years later, while driving, she saw a car that had gone over an embankment off the bridge, go down into the water. Woman had jumped out and she was screaming for help because her husband was still in the car. This lady, going on what had happened to her in the past, jumped in. She didn't think twice. She jumped in the water. She tried to break out that glass. She came out. She called as many people as she could to come help this man. Long story short, she, along with others, got that husband out right at the just in the nick of time. And I tell you that story is that she made a vow. She saw somebody who lost their life, and she could have done something about it, and she didn't do it. She said she will not let that time pass. She refused to be a bystander and a spectator and let somebody else lose their life because she didn't move. And I'm here to tell you that there are people, just like that car that was sinking to the bottom of the water, there are people are sinking right now everywhere around you. People on their way to a Christless eternity, a Christless hell, and they're looking and it's waiting. They don't even recognize they're waiting. What God is looking, he's calling for people to get involved and go and be a rescuer. To share the good news. And you don't have to share it with your mouth. You can share it with your ministry. Share it with your service. Share it with your smile. Just like the little lady just said, God loves you and so do I. How does God want to use your gifts so he can save somebody from destruction? Question is, how long are you going to sit on it? Every head bowed and every eye closed today. Every head bowed and every eye closed today. Dear God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for creating us and designing us, Lord, as your masterpiece and placing a gift in us that you want to use for your glory and the advancing of your kingdom. We thank you that, Lord, you would choose to use these broken vessels We are honored today. Honored today that now to say your spirit indwells us and you have equipped us and enabled us to carry out your work. But I confess, God, sometimes I've had my gift and haven't used it and sat on it, and I've chosen comfort over ministry. Forgive us for when we've done that. Forgive us for when we've gotten intoxicated by the culture, intoxicated by the surroundings of this world, and forget that we're supposed to be on mission. Forgive us, God. And help us in the context of community to use our gifts and bring you glory and see people brought to the kingdom. In Jesus' name. Today, I want to first talk to those who say, I've accepted Christ as Savior and Lord, but Pastor, I must admit, my gift is being, the flow of God's Spirit has been blocked, and the work is going on, but I haven't been using my gift like I should. And today, I want to step to the plate and say, not no more, God. Today, I want to begin to walk in what you've called me to do. If that's you today, if you're at home, if you're here, you said, God, help me to use my gift. Number one, show me what my gift is. Help me to walk in it. If that's your prayer, whether you're here or at home, God, show me my gift. Help me to walk in it. If that's you, won't you raise your hand right where you are? Lord, show me what my gift is. Help me to walk in it. Help me to use it. If that's your prayer, why don't you raise your hand? I want to pray for you. If you're at home, say, that's me. You can put that in the prayer chat right there. Amen. I see that hand. If you're at home, you're watching online, right there. It's a place for you to click for prayer. You can click that. I need prayer. I want to use my gift. You can put that there. Let us contact you that way. Is there somebody else? Said, I want to walk in my gift. I see that hand. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Dear God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for these who've raised their hand. We thank you for those at home that you've touched. God, all of us, we pray now, forgive us for, Lord God, all the clutter and stuff that we've allowed to block the flow of the gift in our lives. I thank you for my brothers and sisters, God, who've been that collateral flow, that collateral circulation that allow your work to continue to go. But now, God, we come today to say, Lord, we ask you to give us clarity. Show us, make clear to us what that gift is. Give us the courage to walk in it. Pray that for my brothers and sisters in this room, those online, in Jesus' name. Finally, if you're here today, say, look, you may have never accepted Christ as Savior and Lord of your life. We're talking about that gift. He's given us all talents, but once you come to know Jesus Christ and his spirit indwells you, everyone who has his spirit, he gives a spiritual gift for his ministry, and he wants to come and live with you. He created you for a relationship with him. He loves you, and he wants you to live with him eternally, but none of us can because of our sin. The only way for you and I to live eternally with God is to have all of our sins forgiven. Someone had to pay the price for your sin and my sin, and that was Jesus Christ. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, because he was perfect. He never sinned. He paid the price for your sin and mine. And he asked, what he asked, if you want to have all of your sins forgiven, have the certainty to know that he is now indwelling you and that you will one day live with him forever in eternity. Number one, you got to admit to God you're not perfect like you are. You got to believe that he sent Jesus Christ to be the solution for your sins and mine. You got to believe that he lived, that he died, and he rose again. And then you have to make the decision, a choice to accept him as Lord of your life, forgive you of all the sins you've ever done, and make you who he wants you to be. If you'd like to do that today, I want to pray this simple prayer of invitation. It's you inviting Christ into your life to take your sin and give you his perfection. And now he'll give you eternal life, give you his precious Holy Spirit to empower you to walk according to his purpose. If you'd like to do that, just say, dear God, thank you for loving me like I am. I admit that I'm a sinner separated from you. I believe you sent your son Jesus Christ to die just for me. I believe he was buried and that he rose again to make me right with you. Now, today, come into my life. Forgive me of all of my sins and make me who you want me to be. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If that prayer expressed the desire of your heart, praise God. If that prayer expressed the desire of your heart, we need to know about that. Look, if you're in the room, I want you to do me a favor. Now, I want you to come meet me right here at this altar. I want you to meet me at this altar. If you're at home, this is what I want you to do. If that prayer expressed the desire of your heart, I want you to let us know about that. You can go right on our website. We have a connection form. You go to encounterchurch.net/next and say, I accepted Christ. Someone will contact you. Someone will contact and connect you and let you know what your next steps need to be in your relationship with God. Amen. As I said, if you prayed that prayer, I'm gonna stay right here. After service, I'm going to stay right here for a few moments. You can come let me know. Pastor Duane, I accepted Christ today. And we'll talk with you and get you connected with somebody today. Amen? We serve an awesome God. We serve an awesome God. We serve an awesome God. And that awesome God has got an awesome plan to use you as an essential piece in his plan. Amen?